Thank you, Brother Kephart.
Let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm glad we have a perfect Bible. I'm glad we have a Bible we can trust. From cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, God's Word is complete. And it's a blessing to have each of you here tonight. Let's stand as we respect God and His Word as we read Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse number 22. Matthew 14, we're starting with verse number 22. We will read down through verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee in the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Thank you, and you may be seated. There is no doubt that storms are going to come in our lives. We wish we could avoid them. We may try all that we want to prevent them, but they are going to come. When I grew up in West Virginia, I remember growing up there and we had school drills. It started when I was in the first grade and second grade. And I remember every year we had certain times of the year, I think it was probably about every 2 to 3 months, we would have training for drills, emergency safety drills. Drills that if we were to have major storms, winds, hurricanes, other things, that they told us what we were to do and where we were to go. Many of the houses back there had cellars where when the winds would come, they would slip down into the cellars and kind of hide out there until the storm passed by. But I can remember some real bad storms. I mean, they actually were given names as we have them today, but growing up, I just remember the storms were horrible. Lightning and the thunder and winds blowing down trees. It was something to just sit through. Sometimes I sort of miss the storms. We don't have them like we had back there out here. I miss the lightning storms. You know, sometimes you can lay at night, open your window, you can hear the wind blow. You could smell the sound or smell the wet, the moisture, and you could see the lightning flashing in your bedroom. I mean, it was just something very special, but at the same time, something very frightening. Here, the disciples were going into a storm. This was a storm like no other. This was not just a storm. This was a storm that you would never forget, and they certainly were not about to forget. You have to remember, they were expert sailors. They had crossed the Sea of Galilee several times. They had gone across that sea, and they were very familiar with how to navigate across. They knew the ins and outs, but on this day, the storm was one that they would carry to their grave in their memory. It was dramatic. And God is teaching in this storm to his disciples four powerful lessons. Lessons that not only was he teaching them, but you and I can learn from them. These are storms, and these are lessons, rather, in the storms that God wants us to learn. And as we learn these lessons, I believe that when the storms come, we learn more about our God than in any other time. I want to remind you this tonight. The key is that you can't avoid the storms, you can't prevent the storms, but you can prepare for the storms. Preparation is key. How prepared are you for a storm? I don't think America was too prepared for the storm that we've been involved in the last couple of years with this economic downturn. I don't think they were prepared at all. I think they kind of thought, well, we might have a little bit of a recession, but we'll snap back real quick. And people were just living as if there's no tomorrow. Preparation was not there. We weren't prepared. But now we're in the storm of this economic difficulty. But let's just forget about the economy and let's focus tonight on storms that come in our life, whether it would be economic, whether it would be health, whether it would be some maybe a spiritual challenge in our life, or whether it would be something that we're going through. Just keep this in mind. The storms are going to come, but we have a God in the storm. We have a God that's there. We have a God that's going to help us through the storms. And if we're gonna, and one of the things I've learned about storms is storms can bring great stresses to our life. We can be stressed out. I remember we had this collie that someone gave us. When growing up as a kid, I think I had about 35 dogs. Because the way it works is that someone would give us a dog, the dog would go out and chew up something in the backyard, my dad said, get rid of it. And they didn't feel sorry for us. 6 months later, somebody else would give us another dog. He would go out and he would tear up something. My dad said, get rid of it, and we'd get another dog. And that's kind of how my life was with dogs. I mean, we had tons of dogs that way. And remember, we had this one dog. It was a tri-collie. It was a beautiful dog. It was just absolutely gorgeous. But every time the storm came, the dog went into an anxiety attack. He would climb on the bed. And I remember he would jump up on the bed and he would get up next to you and almost, you know, just smother you because he was so frightened from the storm. He was stressed out. I think tonight, when I consider this, many of us become stressed when the storms come. But if I can help you to get your eyes off of the storm and look at the God in the storm, I believe that God can help you through some storms that you're facing. These four lessons, you can write them down. Here's lesson number one. Lesson number one is this, no doubt about it, God sends the storms. God sends the storms. God's going to send them. And we might say, you know, that seems a little cruel that God would send a storm in my life. I don't want to have a storm. I want my life to be, you know, all you know, ease. Just kind of go down the road now that I'm a Christian. Why should I have a storm? Because we will never know God until we know the storm. We will never know the power of God. We will never know how wonderful God is until we are in a storm. But God sends the storms. I want you to consider with me very carefully the circumstances. This is a strange passage because if you notice that earlier in the passage, Jesus had fed the 5,000 and the disciples were so excited. God had fed 5,000 miraculously before their very eyes. God had showed them who he was. And they were just, you know, they were just ecstatic. You know, look at this. Here's a miracle. Here's what our Savior could do and all of that. And in fact, they got so excited that they were finding themselves being carried away with the crowds. The crowds wanted to force Jesus to be the king at this point. I mean, if he could perform miracles, he could certainly straighten out the world and become the world king. In fact, in John chapter 6, the Bible said that when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Keep this in mind, that Satan is always trying to thwart the work of God. He was trying to thwart the fact that Jesus was here for a reason. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to die for man's sin. And I believe that the temptation was that somehow or another we could get Jesus and make him a king. He wouldn't have to die. He wouldn't have to go to the cross. So what they were doing really was, Satan was bringing this temptation to the disciples and the temptation to Jesus Christ. But Jesus constrained them. The Bible said that they would get in the ship and go the other side. Get away from the crowds. And Jesus heads to the mountains. That is the circumstances. There's a real quick spiritual lesson in this. It is never wise to stay around a crowd whose eyes are only on the physical rather than on the spiritual. And how many times have we found that that's exactly the problem with the New Testament, those who were following Christ? They always wanted what Jesus could give them physically, but few wanted what he gave them spiritually. It's like our world today. You know, we want the physical. We want comfort. We want no problems. We want no heartaches. We want none of that. And we want all the wealth that we can get. We want all of these things. And God says, I'm more concerned about your spiritual life than your physical life. Can I tell you this? Everything in this world is passing away. Everything is changing. You can't stop it. It's just changing. There's nothing permanent. You know, I was thinking about this just this year alone. Do you know how many people have died just this year alone that are well-known people? Do you realize all the things that have taken place? Strange things that have occurred just this year? In just a couple of months, of course, obviously it'll be in a new year, but as the year is changing, as things are changing, you can't change that, but you can change you. You can let God work in your life. You can let God give you the strength. You can let God show you how powerful he is, because there are going to be circumstances you're going to need the Lord. And the Bible said that God sends the storms so you can see who he is. But then there's the commitment. The disciples did as God had told them. They were walking with God. I'm glad when I read the scriptures that I find there are a group of people that walk with God no matter how difficult the storms are. A commitment to follow Christ is the best way to deal with the storms. It's amazing to me how many people, when a storm comes, you know what they want to do? They want to go run and hide and get away from God. They think that by running away from God and running away from church and running away from Bible reading and running away from all the things that we as God's people ought to enjoy, they think we ought to, you know, running away from all that, that'll get rid of the stresses. It never gets rid of the stresses. It only magnifies the stresses. Because now we're going to go it alone without God. By the way, commit yourself that no matter what storm God sends my way, I'm going to walk with God. I want to be in his will. I want to be in the center of his storms, right with him. I'm going to walk in concert with him. I want to make sure that whatever comes in my life, I am not about to run away. I want to go into the storm with Jesus Christ. So the first great lesson God's teaching us is that God sends the storms. And that storm is to teach us about who he is. And by the way, if you're here tonight, if you never received Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you can know him tonight. He can be your Savior tonight. It's not by being a church member. It's not by being baptized. It's by realizing that we're sinners and by putting our faith and trust and believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, who died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day. That's how we can know that we're going to heaven. That's the God that we can go through the storms with. So number one is God sends the storms. Let me give you the second great lesson that God gives us. There are four. I'll give you the second. God sees the storms. Can I remind you that God sees the storms? Remember, as the disciples were on the boat, God saw the storms that was in their life. One man said this, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? I like that. Nothing ever occurred to God. It wasn't like God was like, you know, they're praying in a mountain, and then all of a sudden a storm comes, God, oh, I forgot a storm was coming. It doesn't work like that. God sees your storms. He knows what you're going through. He knows very clearly what you're going through. Realize that he's praying for you. The praying Christ. Did you see this? The praying of Christ. While the storm's going on, I wonder, what was Jesus praying about? He was praying them through the storms. You're here on earth, and guess what? We have an intercessor, Jesus Christ. He's in heaven praying for us through the storms that we are going through. That's the Savior. Aren't you glad we have a risen Savior? I'm glad he's not dead in the grave somewhere. He's very much alive. And the Bible said that in the picture, the illustration is that we see here is that of a praying Savior. And he's praying for those that they would get to the other side. Prayer was so key. And Jesus, as he was there praying, he was praying, the Bible said, between the fourth watch of the night. That was between 3 and 6 a.m. In prayer, he had focused his attention on his mission and what God wanted him to do. As God the Father sent God the Son there to die on the cross for our sins. So we have the praying of Christ. But second of all, notice the persistency of the disciples in verse 24. The Bible said they kept rowing, and they were rowing. And the ship, though, was tossed, and the waves and the wind were contrary. But they kept on rowing anyway. And they rowed for 4 hours, and they only gotten about 3 miles. They were powerless. They needed to get to the other side. You see, Galilee was 12 and a half miles long and 7.5 miles wide, and they were right out in the middle of all this. And so the storm was bad. When Jesus was praying, they would get to the other side, but they kept on rowing. Let me remind you of something. When you're in a storm, you just keep on rowing for Jesus. Don't quit. You keep on rowing. In fact, you know what I found out? Whenever you get at your weakest moment and you don't think you can go on anymore, that's when Jesus shows up. That's when Jesus comes. The Bible said here that rowing and they're going through all this difficulty and they're perplexed and they're not sure what they're going to do. They just kept on rowing anyway. One man said this, the darker the night, the brighter the light. The more difficult it comes and the more hardship that comes in our way and we don't think we can go on anymore, let me remind you, just keep on going for him. The disciples represent those who keep going for him all the time. And let me give you just some good advice. Never make life-changing decisions when you are in a storm. You know why? Because you're always going to take the path of least resistance. And sometimes it's not God's will you take that path. It's always God's will that you stay. So there's the persistency of the disciples. And then notice the presence of the Savior in verse 25. Here comes Jesus. Jesus shows up, and like I said, he comes at their time when they are at their lowest point. They can't go on anymore. Here comes Christ walking on the water. Now, let's not be too hard on them. Because, you know, I've heard people say, you know, they didn't even recognize Jesus. But think about it. Has Jesus ever walked on the water before them? Had they ever seen him out on the water? Had they ever seen anybody walking on the water? They thought that it must have been a ghost, or maybe it could have been a shadow or something. But here comes Jesus walking on the water. The disciples had learned something. Jesus not only was their Savior, but he was the Creator. Nature didn't affect him. He could stop them at any time. He could stop the wind. He could change things. He could change the course of the boat. He could do whatever he wanted to. Here comes Jesus. Look, you know what the truth matter is? When you're in a storm, why don't you summon Jesus to come? Summon him. Recognize him. See him where he is. Because I want to tell you this tonight, God sees your storms. You say, but preacher, you don't know how bad the storms are. I may not know, but I know that God sees them. He sees right where you are. He knows what's inside your very mind right now. He knows what's in your heart. Because God is a God that is teaching you who he is in the storm. So there are four great lessons. Number one, the first great lesson is God sends the storms. Number two, God sees the storms. And when I think of that, it's encouraging to me to know that no matter how difficult it might be, I have a God that sees the storms. But then number three, here's the third great lesson. Write this one down. God strengthens us in the storms. That's where our part comes in. This is what God is doing. He wants to strengthen us. We notice their condition in verse 26. They did not recognize him. They were in confusion. They were terrorized by the night. They probably were at the place where they thought they were going to die. And God had to come to strengthen them. In verse 27, we find that God gave them comfort. Their comfort came in verse 27. He said, but straightway spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Well, I don't know how they must have been, but to be comforted in a storm, to have the Savior there, that had to bring great comfort. Jesus always gives us comfort when we are in the storm. Whatever storm you have in your life, Jesus always gives you the comfort. Others may not, but Jesus will comfort your heart. In fact, he knows our difficulties. He knows what we're facing. I love that verse. I shared it this morning with you, but let me give it to you again. It's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 and 16. Here's what it says. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the disciples were in need at this point? They were in great need, and they needed a Savior, and that Savior came, and he understood what they were going through. But yet at the same time, he brings comfort to them. But then thirdly, I want you to notice the call. Verse number 28, Peter says, if it's you, Lord, let me come out to you on the water. Now, sometimes people laugh and say, well, you know, it's really sad that Peter weakened in faith. Yes, that's true, but what about the rest of the people? Where were they? I didn't see any of them getting out of the boat. I didn't see any of them trying to walk in the water. Peter got out. And Jesus called him. And the storm was still raging. Everything was just the same. It was scary. Remember, it's going to be life-changing. They'll never see the Sea of Galilee the same way. They'll still, every time they look at it, they'll remember this storm. And here Peter's out on the water walking, making his way to Jesus. And you know what happens? Peter represents what we are, what all of us are like. He grew weak in faith, didn't he? He took his eyes off of Jesus, obviously. He looked at the waves. He looked at the storms. He looked at the clouds. He sensed that there was danger coming, and so he lost his faith. And the Bible said that He cried out to Jesus, and Jesus lifted him right back out. As he was slipping in the water, he lifted him right back up. Aren't you glad we have a Savior like that? You may find yourself growing weak and maybe slipping under, and Jesus there just to lift you right back up. See, the truth of the matter is God's there to strengthen us. He strengthens you. But you got to go to Him. You got to believe He's there. You have fear, and you have these stresses in your life like all of us do, and we all have them. We have to believe that God can strengthen us and get us through these storms that come in our life. There's one more lesson. We've already seen three of them. The first lesson we see is God sends the storms. And God is very serious about the storms because He wants you to know who He is. Number two is God sees the storms. There's nothing that goes on in your life that He doesn't see. He recognizes that you're in a storm. And then while you're in the storm, God strengthens you. In fact, the truth of the matter is, that's probably when we're strengthened the most is when we're in the storm. God does a great job in strengthening us, and He takes us through those things. But there's one more truth. God stops the storms. God stops the storms. Verses 32 and 33, we see that God steps in now at this point and says, okay, it's enough. It's enough. That's, by the way, the work of God. God stops the storms. Oh, listen to me tonight. Don't let the storms frighten you to the place where you cannot believe that there's a God that's going to take you through the storms. God stops the storms when He's ready to stop the storms. And I want to tell you this, God's timing is always right. Every storm that's ever come in our lives, we have to be honest with ourselves to say, you know, God's timing is always right. It's not my timing. To be honest with you, if I had my timing about storms, I would never have one. But God says, oh no, you'll never know how powerful I am. You'll never know who I am. I'll never be able to build you up and strengthen you. You'll never learn the lessons of faith until the storm comes. But I'll stop the storms. I stop them. That's the work of God. When Jesus indwells our hearts, and He lives in our lives, and He comes to minister to us, it doesn't matter how bad the winds are and how strong the storms may be, we can have peace in the storm with Jesus. That's the work. But then He can say, it's enough, and stop the storms. There's a calmness when you walk with Christ, even in the storm. There's a calmness. But then one more, I want you to notice something. Look at verse 33, what happens? Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Guess what takes place? God's glorified. When the storm's over, God's glorified. Those in the ship said, you know, we need to worship Him. I mean, truly, He is the Son of God. Have you ever noticed that we get so much closer to God after we've been through a storm? There's just something about that. We just find ourselves getting so much closer to God, and it's like all of a sudden our perspective on everything else changes because God's the only thing that does matter. And that's where we need to be all the time. God brings us to Him. And there was a worship of God. You see, that's the lessons God's teaching us. Look, tonight, you deal with storms. They're going to come. I don't want to scare you. It's just reality. We know in just about a month we're moving into the rainy season, aren't we? It's coming. I wish it wasn't coming. I like this weather. But we can't live on this weather all the time. We've got to have storms. We need the water. We need the rain. We need all that brings. I wish we had beautiful weather like this week was perfect week in weather. And we can enjoy this week in the weather and all of that, but keep this in mind. We got to be prepared for the storms are coming. Christian, be prepared for your storms in your life. You know what I suggest? Let's get as close to God as we possibly can. Walk with God every day and just make sure that you're in the center of God's will. And even if God says, look, we want you to get in the boat and go on the other side. I don't think the disciples said, oh, we're going to get in the boat and go on the other side. There's going to be a big storm. God never told them that. You see, the storms come many times right when we're in the center of God's will, because the storms are not punishments. They're things that God sends to strengthen us. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you are in a storm. Maybe a marital storm. Maybe a financial storm. Maybe a storm at your job. But whatever it is, remember these four great lessons. Because God, in His sovereign grace and work, as He works in our life, and as God brings us through these things, God's showing us how powerful He really is. You see, the storms that we read about here in this passage is all about pointing us back to God. That's what we want to see. Look for God in your storm. And I'm going to tell you something. He stands like a lighthouse in the middle of the storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray tonight that You would help every one of us here in this room. Lord, I believe that there are people probably who are here tonight in a storm. But Lord, I know that You can give us victory through the storms. And Lord, may we learn to look for You in that storm. And while our heads are bowed,